welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, again, good morning. Welcome. Praise God. Good to worship with you all this morning and have communion and just remember where we've come from, our spiritual heritage, the love of God. Praise God. And so I'm switching over to a handheld today. I think we've got something in that wire. It served us for years very well, but I think we're probably going to be needing to replace something on that. So a little different, but should be pretty good. So we're going to go ahead and get started here this morning in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. It says, "Then Peter came to him, Jesus, and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' And Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.'" That had to be pretty, it had to be pretty mind-blowing for Peter back then, because it's still mind-blowing to us today. You know, seven times. He probably thought he was doing pretty good. And Jesus corrected his theology by 70 times. We see another place where Jesus exhorts us regarding forgiveness. He said, "You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." These are some really powerful scriptures about love, about the love of God. Jody was speaking last week about love and a case for love and just a nice just reminder, refresher about the power and the presence of the love of God. And the greatest of these is love. And we think about love, we think about this side of love too. We think about love, forgiveness, doing good, ministering. You know, it's this side of love that makes us go, wow, really? How does somebody really do something like this? There's a song that came out in recent years by Matthew West that goes like this. It says, "It's the hardest thing to give away. It's the last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. It takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you've got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying, set it free. Forgiveness. Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable. Help me now to do the impossible. Forgiveness. Help me now to do the impossible. Forgiveness. It'll clear away. It'll clear the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through the eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness." You know, Jesus is so adamant about forgiveness and loving people. And we wonder, and we can see this a lot of times through that sense of duty, but I love how that song puts it. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Because when we see past the duty of forgiveness, this is not a finger-wagging, you need to forgive message this morning. This is going past and through the duty of forgiveness, the command, the admonition to forgive, to see through to what Jesus is getting at, the healing power of forgiveness. There's healing in forgiveness. The prisoner that it really frees is you. And so we're going to look at that, kind of that phrase, and we're going to look at how that happens. How does forgiveness free me? How does it heal me? The scripture is very clear. I mean, really practical ways that forgiveness powerfully brings healing to you. Your own soundness of mind, everything is through forgiveness, through love. That love that God first showed us, we can also show and experience healing through that forgiveness. Now, you know, I'm a pastor on a Sunday morning with about 40 minutes, so I'm not going to exhaust the subject. But I'm going to give some very specific, poignant aspects of forgiveness and how God uses that. And what I'm believing for is that there's going to be some things that are going to pull through this morning as we go our way that we can remember and that will inspire that healing power of forgiveness. Because that's where we're forgiven. We forgive by faith, but you're going to forgive by faith knowing there's healing in that forgiveness. So the first aspect, we'll just call, we're ministering along the lines of healing power through forgiveness, is this. There's healing in God's presence. Forgiveness. One of the great stories, one of the hallmark stories, I think, in the whole Bible on forgiveness is found in the Old Testament in Genesis. As we see the story of Joseph and his life story. I mean, there's so much to the story of Joseph. We know that he was raised and he had a lot of brothers, and he'd had visions and dreams, and he'd tell his brothers his visions and dreams, and they didn't care so much for those dreams because they seemed like visions of grandeur to them. So they didn't really understand his spiritual visions and the things that he was getting. He was seeing himself, you know, in a way that was in a place of superiority, in a place of ruling. And of course, these dreams truly were prophetic. Of course, he didn't fully understand him at the time, nor did his family. But in any case, his brothers didn't care for him. And long story short, they decided to sell him into slavery. And once they sold him into slavery, this is how the story picks up with Joseph. It says, now Joseph, having been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites. Those were the slave traders who Joseph's brothers sold him to, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him, and then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. And here's really the powerful ministry that we experience through forgiveness. And that's really what we're calling the healing in God's presence. The thing about Joseph, and you think about a young kid who would have a cause to be bitter. His brother sold him into slavery, took everything away from him, his identity, you know, who he was in that family. He's just now a slave. He has no property. He is now the subject of this Pharaoh, Potiphar, the officer of the Pharaoh. And so he's got nothing. His brothers took it all away from him. But the one thing his brothers couldn't take away from him, they couldn't take away his relationship with God. He still had that with him. The master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. One of the most powerful things in healing through forgiveness is realizing you're not alone in forgiveness. When it comes to forgiveness, because one of the most painful things about, you know, experiencing that bitterness and the pain and things like that is immediately if there's a sense of isolation, there's an anger, there's a frustration, there's a not just a why God, but where is God? And the thing that Joseph experienced was that he always knew that no matter what his brothers did to him, God was with him in a way that he found favor. He found favor. And in just everything he did, you think of the Psalm 1 guy. He didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He didn't stand in the path of the sinner. He didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He just delighted in the law of the Lord in the face of that. He knew that God was with him. And that's a powerful aspect that we have to realize as well, too, that the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Here again, we saw that with Joseph, and we're seeing it now here with David. He is in the valley of the shadow of death. He's in the presence of his enemies, and God is there in the presence of his enemies. He's preparing a table before him in the presence of his enemies. So there's a ministry, there's a healing ministry of presence. You know how it is sometimes when somebody will lose somebody or there's a passing, you know, and you want to just be there for them. You're not there to say the right cliche or the right spiritual thing. You're not trying to fix anything. You're just there with them. It just means something to know that somebody's just there with you. You don't want them to necessarily say anything. You just want them to be there. This is one of the healing ministries that there is in the middle of hurt and pain. There is a healing ministry of presence. And when you get good at knowing that God is with you no matter who does what, man, there is healing. There is strength in there. There's courage in there. It just, because here's what the enemy does. The enemy gets us centered around everybody's imperfections. You can wake up in the morning thinking, going throughout your day and thinking what's wrong, and pretty soon you're just orientating. Your whole thought, life, and narrative is orientating around the hurt and the pain. What God does here is he just gets us to center up on him. We don't see a Joseph who's angry at his brothers here. We see a Joseph who's delighting himself in the Lord. There's a ministry of his presence that gets us focused and centered on him. The Hebrew writer says, for he himself is Jesus. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Romans says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's something God wants us to know in the middle of the pain, of hurt and rejection, of things that people have done to us. He hasn't left us. He is still there for us. People may be able to separate you from people, but nobody can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And there is a cherished truth there that we have to realize, no matter what it feels like, God is still here. Even though I feel like I'm alone here, I'm not alone. God is here. God is present. And why is that important? Because of this. What Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Amplified says, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. Jesus has a ministry to heal the brokenhearted. And this is where the ministry of presence does that. You can just be in his presence, and maybe you've experienced this too. You can just go into the presence of God one way, and you come out the other way, and there's a strengthening, and you don't even know what happened up here. All you know is that there's a strengthening in here. That's what his ministry of presence can do. His ministry of presence is like a surgeon that'll put you under. I don't have to understand how the surgeon's going to, you know, do the open heart surgery, you know. He has that. I'm just yielding to his expertise, and that's what we do with the great surgeon here. He has the ability to heal a broken heart. You know, if somebody was to come over to your house and they were just carelessly knock over a vase, you know, they could say, I'm sorry, I knocked over the vase. But they wouldn't be able to put that vase back together again. When people are careless with your heart, they might even be able to say, I'm sorry. But there's a brokenness in things that only God can heal. There's a healing of the brokenhearted that comes from him. And so as we're looking for healing, as we're looking for, you know, I want God, you know, if somebody does, have you noticed that when somebody does something to you, you can forgive them by faith and do things and move on. But the healing for a broken heart isn't dependent upon a person, you know. The healing of my broken heart is the Lord. He's the healer of the brokenhearted. I'm going into his presence for that healing. If I need somebody to say they're sorry for my heart to be healed, then Jesus is no longer the healer of my broken heart. They are. I can't put that pressure, that dependency on people. The presence of God can heal my heart regardless of what they do. He is the healer of the brokenhearted. This is why it's so important to not isolate from the healer. He is the one who can do it in his way, in his time. There's not a formula specifically for this, but there's a drawing near to God, and it's amazing how he'll do it. He can show you things. He can give you revelation. And just like what Jody was saying last week, just the revelation of his presence, of how much he loves you. There is a, again, instead of centering up on the imperfections of what they did and feeling bad and feeling sorry for myself, I center up on the perfection of his love for me. And it has the ability to cast out and resist fear. It's amazing how that happens. When I'm centered up on him, that what the Bible calls spiritually minded, there just is life and peace. There is life and peace. The Lord put it to me this way one time. Because when you're in these places and it feels like cold and dark spiritually, I want to get spiritual. I want to try to get spiritual. And the Lord just said, don't try to be spiritual. Go where spiritual is. Go to my word. There's an anointing on my word. Begin to worship. Set your mind on things above. Begin to declare the praises of God. There is a manifestation. There's a powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit that he'll respond to. But there is a ministry, what are you saying? There's just a healing ministry of his presence that'll go there. He wants to heal your broken heart. And I wish I could say, it always works like this, A, B, C, D, E, F. Well, there's a principle here, but the way you hear people's stories is they're very different from each other, how that happens. How the Holy Spirit will lead and guide people once you get into the presence of God. You know, just get in the presence of God and then do what he shows you to do. But in the meantime, no matter where you are on the healing scale of things, he is with you. That just doesn't change. You could walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Think about that. That's an ugly, scary valley. But I fear no evil. Why? Not because I have the answers, but because I know you're with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That means he's there in the presence of my enemies. If it's just me, my enemies, and my victim complex, I got a problem. But when I realize, no, he is there. Even though I don't feel him by faith, I know he is there. He loves me and he cares. He cares for me right now. There's a healing ministry of his presence to recognize that presence of God. And that's where you just declare it, Lord, I know you're here. You know, this is where sometimes you'll experience it this way. You can get angry in your head about stuff and your heart will bail you out. Because the Bible says, you know, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth except that which is good for edification. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And sometimes it happens that way. You can get off the rails a little bit in your mind, in a complex, and just angry and stirred up. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will say, hey, you're a Christian. You go, oh yeah, that's right. I can't do that. He'll reel you back in. You realize in that moment that you really are born again. You really are a new creation. There really is a part of you that reels this you back in. You know, you really have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He's really there, recognizing his presence. How you feel in the moment is not you. That's just how you feel in the moment. Praise God. We've got weapons to deal with thoughts and bring them into captivity. But you are a new creation. The presence of God is with you, in you. Just letting him, coming into his presence and just letting his presence minister to you. All right? That is just a powerful way we experience healing by him, because he is the healer of the broken heart. He can give you a flash in an instant of his great love for you in a way that just secures you. That goes, what? Who said what? Who's doing it? No, I'm secure in God's love, being rooted and grounded. Like that scripture Jody brought out last time in Ephesians 3, you're rooted and grounded in the love of God, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That love has a rooting and a grounding effect that we experience in his presence. Sometimes the answer is just get into the presence of God. Let his spirit minister, do what he does. Another aspect of the healing that comes through forgiveness is healing in God's wisdom, okay? And I love how God does this. For me, this has been a powerful truth that has helped me and has kept me on the right track on the forgiveness side of life. 2 Corinthians says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amplified says, we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud, lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. We lead every thought and purpose away captive to the obedience of Christ. We've got weapons of our warfare to combat reasonings, to combat arguments. And when you're talking about an issue of forgiveness, there is narratives in our head. We got backstories, we got conditions, we got context, things that maybe people see, things that maybe you only know, and whatever that is, and it's just playing on your head. And so there's a narrative. I call it a narrative. It's just kind of a, there's kind of an argument, an ongoing argument, something that is working on your mind to get you stirred up into bitterness, to get you stirred up into anger. And it's arguments. There's reasonings. In other words, this makes sense. You should be mad. It makes sense that you should be mad because this happened. There's a reasoning, and yet it's controlling you. All right? We have weapons for that. We have weapons for reasonings. We have weapons for casting down arguments, for refuting theories. And you get off into theories, too. A lot of times it doesn't just stop at what happened. Then you begin to theorize on what could happen, different things like that. And it gets really complicated. And so you got all this kind of stuff going on. But I'm so glad God gave us a weapon for that. And it's not just to take the thing down. There's healing. There's healing in God's wisdom. Because what we're describing here right now is what the scripture simply calls demonic wisdom. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct. His works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. One of the most humbling things is when you know you're in a place of that demonic wisdom, where it's confusion, every evil work, you're stirred up, and yet there's a temptation to believe that you're getting a revelation from God. It says, verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above. Why is there a temptation to think that it does descend from above? Because there is a logic to it. There's a wisdom to it. There's a reasoning to it. In other words, it might hurt you, it might stir you up, but it makes sense, all right? And just because it makes sense doesn't mean it's God. It just means that if you got a point to see what it's doing, if it's stirring you up, if there's confusion, if everything evil thing is there, if you're getting stirred up to do stuff that you know is wrong, then you can know this is not a God thing. But there is healing for this. What is the healing? The healing is this. James 3, 17 through 18. The wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So there's two kinds of wisdom. There's a wisdom that's going to stir you up in verses 13 through 16. And then reading right along in 17 and 18, we see another wisdom that's going to be pure and peaceable and gentle. And look at that, willing to yield, secure enough to hear the other side, full of mercy, good fruits, no partiality, no hypocrisy, and so on in peace. It's like two different personalities of wisdom, if you will. There's a freeing personality. You know, a lot of times people will say, oh, that love stuff, my goodness. If I'm going to forgive 70 times 7, bless those who curse me, I'm going to be a doormat. I'm going to get walked all over. Love does not make you a doormat. This is what makes you a doormat. Bitterness is what makes you a doormat. Because you could have person A and B. Person A, they're going to walk in love, and they're going to forgive. It's 490 times. All right, I'm just saying that in that case, if you're going to forgive and you're going to forgive and you're going to forgive, a person who's going to be determined to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive is not the doormat. It's the person who could have one or two, or three bad things, and you play it over in your head 490 times. That's what makes you a doormat. Bitterness is what makes you a doormat. It puts a chip on your shoulder. It makes you think, oh, no, you're... A lot of times when a person is really chip on the shoulder, now usually you're already a doormat to bitterness. Paul talks about Timothy, you know, in meekness, instruct those who are in opposition, that they may be escape the snare of the devil, who are being taken captive by him at his will. And how does that deception happen? It happens by verse 15. You believe that your wisdom's from above, so you don't resist it. You yield to it, and you're looping more than 490 times. It's the thing that beats you up. There's healing in God's wisdom. There's a healing that gets you off this merry-go-round. It's a wisdom that doesn't get into the weeds of who's right, who's wrong. It gets your eyes in the sky on things above and says, what's right and what's wrong? What's true? gets your whole position thinking spiritually. And you begin to think like this, pure, peaceable, gentle, willing, mercy, good fruit. It's going to be full of that. When it's God, it's going to be full of those things. And just to be able to recognize that. Here's what God's healing wisdom says. Here's an example of the healing wisdom of God. Lay aside bitter words. See if this lines up with James 3, 17 through 18. Pure, peaceable, gentle. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. But instead, be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Be imitators of God in everything you do. Here again, we're called to be imitators of God. This is where you get to play God. Want to play God? Okay. You get to forgive like he forgave. That's how we play God. We forgive. And this is where there's healing in this. Because it's not just any kind of forgiveness. We're forgiving even as. In other words, you know, not only was my sin on this cross, but everything everybody ever did to me was on this cross too. It was all on there. And so in the same way that God's sense of justice was satisfied toward me through the sacrifice of Christ, my sense of justice can be satisfied toward others by the same cross. I'm forgiving even as. This is why Christ is the healer of my heart, not a person. I don't have to get that person to jump through my three hoops so I can have healing. My healing comes right here. My healing comes through Christ. I say, Father, even as you have forgiven me, even as you have found in your holy heart a satisfaction through the sacrifice of Christ on behalf of the things that I did wrong toward you, I find a satisfaction of heart and a sense of justice fulfilled in Christ's sacrifice. I forgive even as you have forgiven me. We don't just forgive on our own. We love because he first loved us. We can forgive because he first forgave us. We can say, okay, Lord, here we go. There's healing power in that. Why is this important? Why is it important to understand that forgiveness even as? Because it answers the argument of demonic wisdom. There is a cruel victim complex. That's the accuser of the brethren. You'll wake up to it in the morning. You'll go to bed to it at night. And, you know, it can be Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus till the sun goes down. Or it can be the accuser of the brethren in the morning, accuser of the brethren in the noonday, accuser of the brethren till the sun goes down. If you notice that. So, there's an argument. And you know, that accuser accuses you. But there's an argument, don't you have? You should be in hell. You've done all of these things wrong. Look at your life. Come on. But there's an argument. There's an argument of grace that silences the accuser of the brethren over your life. And there's an argument of grace that can silence the accuser over another person's life. Look what they did to you. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. And you go, yes, they don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it either. It was unmerited favor for me. It's unmerited favor for them too. It's even as forgiveness. I have permission to forgive. I don't have to show how strong I am to a victim complex. I don't have to prove how tough I am to so-and-so who wouldn't put up with that. It's not about what they would put up with. It's about what God would put up with and what God wants us to do. God suffers long and is kind. He's poured out forgiveness through Jesus Christ on that cross. There's healing when I can let go of my sense of obligation to stay with this demonic narrative that is just beating me up and just say, I don't have to stay with it. I can forgive even as. It's not a matter of how it looks. It's not a matter of optics. It's a matter of what's true. This is true. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Could it be that simple? I love to use the old illustration of the finger traps our kids would have in school, those little Chinese finger traps. It's like a little tube. You'd stick your fingers in there, and you try to pull them apart, and it's like, oh, you can't do it unless you just rip the trap. It's just like it's slick. It's kind of a little, like a little tube you put in there, and it's like your fingers can fit in it, but when they try to come out, it just doesn't work. And that's the way demonic wisdom is. You're trying to get out of that thing, and it just can't get it. And the answer, now, if you've ever done the Chinese finger trap, you know how it is. The answer is stop trying to struggle. You just very gently put your fingers together, twist them a little bit, and very gently remove them out. They just come out like that. You know, a very simple answer. And the answer in this case, there's healing in the wisdom of God. Say, Lord, that is wisdom. I'm going to forgive. I don't care if that narrative has been blaring something. I forgive it. In Jesus' name, I forgive that. What about this? I forgive that. I forgive this. What does the scripture say? It says, lay aside bitter words. In New King James, says, lay aside all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, all of it. We don't even keep a little of it there. There is a hard attitude. Now, again, this is not finger wag and duty stuff, all right? We got to see past that. You got to forgive to, no. I want to be healed. I want to get off this merry-go-round. I want to get off that narrative. How can you? You can through forgiveness. It answers the argument. But what they did, yes, what they did was wrong. And a lot of times when you forgive somebody, you need to forgive them that way. It's not like, that's okay. You know, it's not okay. If somebody hurts you, if somebody sins against you, it doesn't mean you go to that person, but you at least, in the presence of God, you say, Heavenly Father, what they did was wrong. The way they're using me and despitefully using me and manipulating, that's wrong, Father God. But even as you've forgiven me, I forgive them. When you confess sin, you say, I did this, it was wrong, but I receive forgiveness and cleansing from that unrighteousness. Same way with forgiveness. Lord, they said this, they did this, it was wrong, but I, even as you've forgiven me, I forgive them. There is power in that. In the same way there is power to a person calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved, the new birth happens, there is power when you declare by faith. Because that narrative plays on your head, and you say, no, in Jesus' name, they are forgiven. I'm going to lay aside the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, the profanity, the insults. I'm going to be kind, affectionate, and I'm going to forgive, Father, even as you've forgiven me. And when that narrative comes back, say, nope, praise God. In Jesus' name, that is done. Well, that kind of gets us to the final thing, and that is this, healing in God's protection. Okay, there's a healing in his presence. There's a healing in his wisdom. His wisdom to forgive. It's not just a duty. There's wisdom in that forgiveness. Why? It answers the accusation of the narrative. Because no matter what that angry, bitter narrative comes against, it can't fight unmerited favor. I forgive him, even as God in Christ has forgiven me. That's my answer. I forgive him. God forgives me. 490 times. Are you glad that God has stuck with you? Have you ever made promises to God and then broke them, but he was still there and he still stayed with you? Well, even when people repeatedly do the wrong thing, even as forgiveness stays with them. And I don't mean that you're staying with them and having to care for, you know, I mean in terms of keeping that bitterness out of your heart, even though there may be, I'm forgiving even as God in Christ has forgiven me. God will never, and God has never in my Christian experience, in the middle of a prayer, to say, Father, I forgive them, to say, Ed, no, don't forgive them. No, I don't want you to forgive them. I want you to be bitter and vindictive. I'll give you a little good comeback. He's never done that. There's an enemy that does that, but he'll never resist your continual forgiveness. You are on the side of grace. You're on the side of a supernatural love of God. Does it take faith? Yeah, it takes faith. It does fly in the face of what you feel. It does. You know, it's anger's worst enemy. I like that phrase. Because when you're mad, you don't want to hear about forgiveness. And yet you know it's true. You know it's what saved you. And so there's a deep calling into deep in these inflection points. But then there's healing in God's protection. And what are we talking about here? God has an amazing protection as we go through this. This is the Psalm of David. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. You know, sometimes this might feel like demonic spirits, not necessarily people. Sometimes you feel attacked. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice. He heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Wow. You know, if you just got one person who's setting themselves against you, they can cause a lot of trouble. He's saying 10,000s of people. Why? He said, because you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. One of the blessings of a shield is it just works. You know, when I'm going down the road in the car on a summer day in Door County, I don't have to keep track of every bug that's flying at me. The shield just does the work, right? Bug guts, that's it. All right, great. I'm glad I don't have to keep track of that. A shield has that power. Because when you're hypothetically trying to figure out everything that could possibly, you go from that to a shield. And you're saying, I trust the shield. And you can see again, David saying, man, they have increased to trouble me. In other words, I'm getting in my head. There's no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. And he goes on to say, I lay down and slept, and I woke, the Lord sustained me. Wow, what a great thing in the middle of that, to just have a good night's sleep. And you wake up, and I won't be afraid of 10,000s. You're a shield. God has a shielding power. Here's a few other references. Blessed be the Lord, because he's heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. With my song, I will praise him. The Lord is my strength and my shield. The Lord is a shield. We were singing about that this morning. You're my shield, my fortress. You've made me glad. Ephesians puts it this way. We therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from good news, so that you will be fully prepared. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now here's another part of the healing power of God. A lot of times we kind of know these first two parts. We kind of know that presence of God, peace. All right, I got to go. He's got to be the safe place at some point. And also the forgiveness. Yes, there's wisdom. I know the Holy Spirit's going to bring me back to even as forgiveness. That's where I'm heading. I might be playing hard to get for a while, but I know I'm going to end up here before it's all said and done. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He leads and guides you back into all truth. But here's where there can be confusion sometimes as it relates to healing. Because I've had this happen before too. I mean, where I've forgiven. Man, I've gone down. Sometimes what I've done, you ever clear out a junk drawer? You know, it's just like, oh, it's a mess. Sometimes I'll do that in my soul. I'll clear out the junk drawer of bitterness. I'll start, you know, with spouse, family, children, friends, you know, coworkers, things like all that stuff. And I'll just go down. You know, sometimes there's nothing there. I'm fine. Go down to the next. But anyway, I'll just kind of go through and make sure I'm not, you know, on top of, I kind of hold myself accountable. That I've really kind of said, okay, good, good, good. Oh, if there's anything there, I just let it all aside. No, so at the end of the day, I know, okay, my heart's clear toward people. If there's any business to be taken care of, praise God, I've taken care of it. And there can be a tremendous peace that you experience from that. But here's the issue. Here's where a lot of times our forgiveness gets undermined. Because we experience things. You might be doing fine today, and tomorrow you see something or hear something. That's a trigger that pulls you back to the old narrative again. And pretty soon you're running on that merry-go-round again. And you might be, you know, an hour into it before you realize, oh, I'm back, you know. And the first thing that comes into your head is this. Oh, I thought I forgave. I guess I must have not really forgiven. And that's really the demonic accusation. It's this. If you had really forgiven, you would never have any bad feelings about that again. That becomes the measuring stick by which you've really, truly forgiven. Have you really forgiven? Somebody who's really, truly forgiven should never feel any animosity about the thing that they've forgiven. That is not true. That is a lie. In fact, the fiery darts of the devil are custom designed for things you've forgiven. And I'm going along, and I'm feeling good, like I've forgiven. It could be the next day, it could be 5 minutes from now, whatever. All of a sudden, I'm remembering your trigger. What we call a trigger, spiritually, those are fiery darts. That's what they are. They're fiery. They're painful. They're called fiery for a reason. And what does the Bible do? What does the Bible say? It says, take up the shield of faith. It will extinguish all those fiery darts of the enemy. I've come over here. I've genuinely forgiven. And the darts are coming at me, and I got my shield down. And I'm starting to get darts. And I'm going, why, God? Why are you letting this happen to me? And God is saying, why aren't you lifting up the shield of faith? There's a fight of faith. There's a standing your ground. There's a, verse 13, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. What we've got to remember is one of the biggest things the enemy attacks is your forgiveness. It's an attack. It's an attack on what you've forgiven. Those fiery darts are designed to get you back on that narrative again. That James 3 stuff. This is where we fight. This is where we stand our ground. And the power of that shield. And what am I saying when I lift up that shield and I'm reminded, I'm triggered, that thing comes back. That's where I'm saying, no, shield of faith. I have forgiven that even as God in Christ has forgiven me. This is you. This is Jesus in the backside of the desert. This is you in your backside of the desert with the enemy saying, it is written. Forgive, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. I have forgiven that in Jesus' name. I lift up that shield of faith, and I declare that offense is forgiven in Jesus' name. I'm doing warfare. I'm doing spiritual warfare. I am battling in the Spirit in the name of Jesus, and I'm declaring that is forgiven. What is that shield doing? That shield, if you can think of it, it's almost acting like a Band-Aid. Until my soul is really healed. You know, there will be tender areas. You can forgive something, but it'll still be a tender area in your soul for a while. It could be a tender area for years. But there's a shield of faith that'll keep that protected while you're healing up. That's what the shield of faith does. No, I've forgiven. I've forgiven even as you're making that stand. There's stuff going on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit honors that. God honors your stand for forgiveness. When you begin to declare that in the name of Jesus, no, I have forgiven even as God in Christ has forgiven me. There's healing in that shield. I remember a story of a minister who said he went to a friend's house and there was a little boy who just, you know, fell off his bike and just ripped his arm all up and it was looking pretty bad and bloody and, you know, he's a little boy and he's pretty proud of his scars and his battle scars. And, you know, he goes up there and he says, yeah, you want to see what happened? He takes the bandage, just rips it open, rips it off. And his dad's going, oh, no, don't, you know. He wants to show off his battle wounds, you know. And he said, as soon as he saw that boy do that, he said, that the Lord just spoke to him. He said, that's a lot of times what people will do, you know, as they're trying to heal up. They'll be, you know, that's what the fiery dart does. It takes you back into that narrative and just tries to rip it up and get you stirred up over again. What we're doing here is we're saying, no, in Jesus' name, that is forgiven. It is, and Lord, I'm just going to let that stay there. But what if it happens again? But what about this? What about, all that matters is I've forgiven that in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I'm keeping that shield of faith up because what does it do? It quenches the fiery darts. And there is nothing quite like experiencing being riled up in your mind and the same thought comes back to you again and it has no power over you. Because there is faith. There's faith in his shield. There's faith in the forgiveness of God. There's faith in your own forgiveness. I have forgiven that in Jesus' name. I am not going back. I'm not going to get stirred back up into that. I'm not going to let the fiery dart stir me up again. There's healing. There's healing in the shield of God. What does it do? It just acts. It acts like a Band-Aid. It keeps that forgiveness in place. Again, don't let this ever be a situation where you're stirred up over something you've already forgiven and think that means I haven't forgiven it. You have forgiven it. You go back to declare, hey, I've forgiven this. Satan is a liar. He is an accuser. There's a few things Satan is really good at. He's really good at lying, and he's really good at accusing. And that's what he'll do to you regarding your forgiveness. Lift that shield high and say, nope, it is forgiven by faith. And I'm keeping that. And I know that as I lift that shield, there's healing going on. It's not just quenching the fiery darts of the enemy, but there's healing in my soul. He's restoring my soul. Praise God. To where I am whole by the power of his Spirit, by the power of his word. So the healing power of forgiveness. There's healing power. Again, this is not a you need to forgive. This is understanding, looking past when you forgive. What's going on when you forgive? I'll tell you what, when you're forgiving, you're getting into the presence of God. He's in the room. You know, he is in the presence of your enemies. He is there preparing a table before you to see him there as your heart healer. He is the one who wants to make you whole. That healing isn't dependent on a person doing the right thing. That healing is dependent on his presence as the healer of your broken heart. There's a healing in God's wisdom. Man, when I forgive, I got to realize it's answering the demonic narrative. It's saying, yes, I am answering the accusations with mercy. I'm answering the accusations with unmerited favor of grace. Grace saved me, and that same grace is what delivers me from the bitterness from other people. And finally, there's healing in God's protection. That protection is a shield that God gives us specifically as part of his armor to lift it up. And I'm just saying, there's a lot of different applications to that shield of faith, but I'm saying lift up that shield of faith after you've forgiven, because if you're feeling, oh, I'm getting stirred up, there's trigger things that happen. When you lift that shield up, you'll get healed from those triggers. You can look at the same trigger and it won't trigger you anymore. That's healing. Yes, it takes a little time, but you're lifting that shield up by faith. And I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm not running after a trigger anymore. I'm saying, no, I'm taking that trigger into captivity to the obedience of my shield, the word. And I'm saying, this is what's true. I've forgiven, Father God, even as you have forgiven me in Jesus' name. And that's where you can say, help me. Give me grace and strength, Father God, in my time of need. That throne of grace is there for us. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that there is healing in forgiveness. Again, I just pray the aspects of this message this morning that people's hearts need to hear. I just pray you would just make them clear by your Spirit. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for grace that you're always with me. No matter who does what to me, it can't undo what you did for me 2,000 years ago. You love me. Nothing can get in between your love for me. You're here. You're present. You do understand. I trust your wisdom. Your wisdom says to forgive even as you have forgiven me. There's healing in that. It delivers me from demonic wisdom. It answers the accusation. I forgive. I extend unmerited favor. It's not based on justice of what they've done. It's based on forgiveness because of what Christ has done. Jesus, you are my basis that I forgive from the place of grace, your cross. I forgive even as you have forgiven me, and it silences the accuser. And I lift up your shield of faith. I know I'll experience triggers. I know those fiery darts are coming. But there's an answer. and I lift up that shield of faith. And when the enemy comes back and accuses me of not forgiving, I will declare, I have forgiven. And I resist that lie. And I receive that protection. And I receive that healing from every trigger. And that you completely restore, Father, my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. You know, as we're beginning a new year, that's a good way to start it out. Like I said, sometimes I'll just go through that exercise. I'm just going to kind of clean out my spiritual junk drawer, you know, my heart, and just kind of get my heart clear toward people. And I'm so glad that we can do that. I'm so glad God calls us to forgive, that he doesn't call us to be vindictive and angry, but that he does call us to be merciful, even as he's been merciful to us. Praise God.